only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Casey trying to getting to Art has been a challenge. He said between 8 and 8:30, so he should. I'll send him another note, Kay. All right. Here, I'll just tell him. it's been tougher to get Art now than it was when California Chrome was running. There we go. Sometimes they forget, you see numbers on the, you see numbers and you're not sure. I'm getting a lot of support for artificial trees. I'm getting photos of artificial trees. In fact, here's Jack Murray of Healthnetics. And in fact, Jack sent me a note. We haven't had Marty much this fall, but so we haven't talked about Healthnetics enough. But if you go to healthnetics.com, here's another gift idea. Thanks, Jack. they've got the Healthnetics balm. And the drops and a candle in a gift box, 25% off. Healthnetics.com. It's been a big help, and from my hands. But Jack just sent me a beautiful picture. He's got their first artificial tree in 50 years. So pretty funny. I think we finally got Art. No, we got Rich. We got Rich Eng instead. Rich, good morning.
Hey, hi, Steve. And I thought you were taking some time off. I'm surprised to get the call, but pleasantly surprised.
next week. This will be the last Thursday of the year. So I.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm very glad you're doing this, so we can have a chance to say happy holidays to each other and all the listeners out there. It should be a fun time for the season, though, for everybody.
Well, no doubt, and we appreciate it. And the topic of the day that just kind of bubbled to the surface before you joined us was with Sean Clancy, and the subject of Christmas tree came up. what has been your experience over the years when it comes to Christmas trees? What's your policy? Do you have a policy?
Not really. I just remember in the old days when there used to be racing on Christmas. I think it was like Gulfstream Park and maybe
Calder.
The Tampa Bay Downs or Calder.
Yeah.
Maybe was it Calder?
Calder. Somebody Calder was, used to run on Christmas.
Yeah. So that gave us something to do if you wanted to participate on Christmas Day. But I know from working recent years with the racing form, this is the only day all year when there's no newspaper.
Well, I forget when Calder stopped running on Christmas, but it's not that long ago, really, that I think they stopped. But when they did stop, it left us, with really the only day that. The racetrack, no racetracks ran, and it was quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a few racetracks don't even, most everybody walks their horses. I think it's even a quiet training day on racetracks.
Yeah, those folks, talk about folks who work every day of the year. It's the people on the backstretch of a racetrack because horses can't feed themselves, they can't train themselves, they can't bathe themselves, and there are somebody who has to take care of them on every single holiday, and God bless them. They work hard, and it's the backbone of the industry.
Well, it's a day that's cherished on the racetrack. There's no doubt, and think ahead to next Saturday. Of course, as soon as Christmas, Christmas is in the books, Rich, we swing into action industry wide, and most notably with Santa Anita opening, and there'll be a draw Monday, the 20th. We're gonna our last day of broadcast will be the 21st, and so we'll get a chance next Tuesday to look at the. The opening day card with the Malibu, the La Brea, and the supporting the American Oaks, the three great ones, the Mathis Brothers Mile, which has become a tradition in recent years too,
mm-hmm.
As well. So, and of course, that'll also mark the resumption of your sheet and your analysis for Southern California.
Yeah, it's actually kind of nice to have in Southern California to have 2 weeks dark. It wasn't that long ago. I know a lot of listeners remember when even the New York Racing Association did not run in the wintertime. I bet goes way back into the 60s and probably a little piece of the 70s. But there was a time they did not run in the winter, and but then the way the racing circuits closed up the dates for the all ran year round, it no longer became seasonal, it became yearly. But there used to be gaps in the season in Southern California too, and but in recent years now they've created a little more space between some of the meets, and this 2 week period is kind of a chance for everybody to catch their breath and create a lot of interest for that opening day at Santa Anita, December 26th. Has always been a very important day, and they give away the calendar for those who come on track, and it's a lot of fun. It's really people are in Southern California. That's a great place to go, and it's on a Sunday too, which means even more people are available to go out there. So hopefully they get a big crowd.
Yeah, and this topic has come up quite a bit. I think the time off it's just good for everybody. It freshens, obviously, the horses, and of course the horses have not the turf horses in particular. They get an extended break after Del Mar because no turf racing, of course, at Los Al. So the opportunity to really for the racing office at Santa Anita for Chris Merz to have pretty much the entire Southern California turf horse population at his disposal. I mean, should make for a terrific, roaring start to the season.
Yeah, I would agree. I would think that first condition book should be really, really popular because people have been sitting around for as long as a month. Like you say, the turf horses, there was no turf racing at Los Alamitos. And so those turf horses are all raring to go. And, you know, a lot of the more expensive horses, you know, allowance types, optional, high optional claimers, I mean, they're ready to go. And you just reeled off all the stakes races. That's interesting, too. And I guess one question, I got to bring this up because it will be a factor in Southern California. You know, now that Oaklawn Park started their meet early, and the purses are so incredibly high, I know there's going to be a lot of participation in Southern California outfits at Oaklawn. So we'll see how that impacts the horse population in Southern California. Hopefully it doesn't impact it too negatively, Steve, because obviously it's important to keep that industry vital. And, you know, it's an important circuit to keep strong. So hopefully not too many people have gone to Oaklawn because we need them in Southern California.
I think, you know, it's hard to know. I'll let Hammer address that tomorrow. Let me just look. All 3 days, of course, of the. Let me pull up the quick sheet. Let's see what they've only got tomorrow's quick sheet. Although I do have, well, I've got. I don't have race one. Just glancing, Rich, at, well, of course, Jerry Hollendorfer's got, you know, he's back there again this year, and you know, that was California's choice, or Santa Anita's choice to force Jerry out. After that, this is just looking at tomorrow's card. I don't think Sadler is back at all. And no, I mean, I'll tell you that there's a lot more horsemen from Kentucky. And I mean, that's obviously part of the lineup. And I'm just here. I'm going through. This is Sunday's card. I got to tell you, I don't really see that there's any West Coast. I mean, I'm sure some will come in for stakes, particularly when the three-year-old racing starts. But I think it's pretty. I think they're pretty free and clear, to be honest, Rich. I don't think they're gonna have to deal with any of that.
Well, you know, that's something we'll see how it plays out. It's a long meet at Oaklawn and overlaps Santa Anita the entire time. So, and you know, money talks. I mean, I look at some of the purse structures. That, you know, you run a maiden special weight race at Oaklawn for six figures, and it's probably about $70,000 at Santa Anita. So, you know, there's finances that just cannot be ignored. So we'll see. There's, you know, it'll play out. It'll play out. And I'm saying I hope not too many people go there as far as siphoning off the horse population from Southern California, because we need to keep that racing strong. So, you know, we'll see how it plays.
One thing that's I will note, actually, because here's a name that people are going to get to know on Saturday in the 8th. I'm sure that we'll talk about this tomorrow when we handicap the card. First starter, right? Not the first starter, but second starter for Rene Amesqua, the Peter Miller assistant who's taken over the barn. And CZ Rocket on Saturday in the 8th race, which is a nice, very nice group. Rich, $120,000 allowance.
Oh, jeez. You know, those were kind of the numbers we saw at Kentucky Downs. Remember this summer at Kentucky Downs, we see a purse structure like that. Just, wow.
It's just crazy, and I'm looking at this field. It's a stake. It's basically a stake without a name on it, because here's Long Range Toddy for Dallas Stewart. In fact, we last time we just talked to Dallas the other day, and Long Range Todd, he came up and he said he was going to run at Oakland this week. Long Range Toddy in here. And how about Mucho from John Ortiz? Mucho in here, coming out of the bet on Sunshine. And before that, third in the Phoenix, behind Special Reserve. He's 3-1. CZ Rocket is 5-2. And, of course, has been successful at Oaklawn. And, in fact, won the Count Fleet last year. That really, there was that crazy good edition of the Count Fleet last year with Whitmore second, and Terry Off had Empire Gold, who I'm a big fan of, in that running of the Count Fleet. So he also won the Hot Springs. So in fact, he actually carries a modest two race win streak into Oaklawn on Saturday. But anyway, so that's a West Coast name. And I don't know, I do not know per se if Amesqua has got stalls that is going to be allowed to enter at Santa Anita or not. I mean, given the conversation, Rich, about Peter Miller stepping aside and what had been, you know, kind of an assumption that he was being threatened with the same, kind of exclusion that was handed to Jerry Hollendorfer. So we'll see if Amesqua is going to be starting horses at Santa Anita or not.
Yeah, let me ask you, Steve. I thought the assistant's name was Ruben Alvarado. Amesqua.
Well, this Ruben might be handling the horses in Southern California, and Amesqua handling the ones that were sent to Oaklawn.
Oh, okay. Because I know at the end of the Los Alamitos meet, some of the Miller horses are running under the assistant Ruben Alvarado. So I know some of them were entered there. I hadn't heard if there was anything to do with a blockage of Miller entries at Santa Anita. Obviously, he has a large horse contingent, and if they did that, that would have an effect on the horse population if he wasn't able to run. But I have not heard anything to the effect that he wouldn't be able to enter.
Well, that's the speculation that, you know, the more or less a preemptive move by Miller to avoid having to deal with that, essentially. I mean, that's the, that's been the suggestion.
Right.
Alvarado went 1-for-6 so far at with the ones that he sent out at Los Al.
Okay. You know what, AC? One thing that I did not mention last week or yet today, we finally had the logjam break between the Nevada Paramutual Association,
yes,
and the Churchill Downs Incorporated. So the signals of Turfway Park, Fairgrounds, and Oaklawn have been here in Vegas for, I guess, maybe a week or 10 days, something like that. But good Lord, they're back on our screens and they're back in our betting terminals. So it's good for the horse players in Nevada.
And we mentioned it when the word came, and the fact that after an extended logjam that was torturous, it actually, timing wise, it was good, because the Oaklawn signal was part of that package, and
yeah,
it came right in advance, a week ago, essentially a week ago Friday. I think 2 weeks ago today is when it was on the second is when the news came that the barrier had fallen.
Yeah, that was really huge. And I know here in Nevada we still printed the past performances for those tracks, even though the horse players weren't legally allowed to bet on it, but because there was just so much interest still in those signals. that people wanted to see the horses run, and you know, if you're a good student in the game, you actually would follow those horses if they shipped to another location and ran on another track. So there was a real interest, and I know the horse players appreciated having the PP so they could still follow it. And you know, a lot of people play at home and they watch TVG or whatever, and you know, we're able to participate in some way, shape, or form sometimes. But so we kept that going. So we did consider the horse players and tried to take care of them best we could.
Well, give everybody, Rich, details. Let them know, you know, how to take advantage and get your analysis daily when Santa Anita starts on the 26th.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Also, actually, I'm gonna dip my toe into the Oaklawn Park water for a couple of weekends until Santa Anita opens.
Nice.
On the 26th. So tomorrow, if somebody wants to see my opinions on Oaklawn Park, they're more than welcome to go. Here's the website, Ralph. It's Ralph Sirocco's website at Race Day Las Vegas, just spelled normal, racedaylasvegas.com. And when you get to that website, you'll see my face on the left column, and just click on that, and that'll go to my homepage. And if someone is interested in buying the sheet, there's a PayPal link that you can use. Your own personal PayPal account, or just you know, charge through me. But if they do use that PayPal link and the account, the email to use for myself is my Yahoo account, rich_ing@yahoo.com. And I'll repeat it all again, because I know there's a lot of people that weren't ready to start writing. But once again, the website is racedaylasvegas.com. Everything spelled normal. And then click on my my face on the left side. And then if you use PayPal, use my email address of rich_ing@yahoo.com. And then that should take care of it.
And, of course, Ralph Sirocco and the team and you and John Lindau and you guys. How long, actually, has the show gone on, Rich?
That's a great question, because I was there with Ralph when he opened it, but in presence, I was the first correspondent actually on Race Day Las Vegas. But he started the show out of Vegas in 1998, I believe.
Wow.
1998. Yes. And I used to call in my picks. I was still with the Las Vegas Review Journal. I was just getting started at the Las Vegas Review Journal at that time. So I would be a correspondent and give a selection and all that kind of stuff. So I've been on every minute with Ralph, too, or not every minute, of course, but a regular contributor since 1998.
Well, it's been a constant. As long as I've followed racing, and of course, in addition to you and Ralph, you get Hardoon, that you know is also an institution around the game. So, Rich, warm wishes for a Merry Christmas, a happy, healthy New Year, and look forward to talking to you after the first. And another gift idea for books, Horse Racing for Dummies from Rich Ang. Betting on horse racing, betting is just great. If you got somebody that's new to the game, that's a great gift idea as well. So, Rich, thanks for everything, and we'll talk next year, as it were.
Yeah, I appreciate that. If you want me to either put a gift or a lump of coal in people's stockings, I do have a horse I like today, if you would.
Go ahead.
Let's go to Aqueduct, the fourth race. It's a mile. So at Aqueduct, and let's try the number one. It's Mandatory. Dylan Davis riding for Jeffrey Englehart. But I like this horse to close and hopefully close fast to pass everybody in the stretch. 6-1 is a nice, juicy price. Number one, it's Mandatory in the fourth at Aqueduct.
Excellent. And, in fact, I will put up the pick five today from Aqueduct races 4 through 8. So I like it, and we'll probably include.
I hope it's a gift, not a lump of coal.
There you go. Rich, thank you, buddy. Rich Eng for Pro Pick, folks, and betting on horse racing for dummies. Rich Eng, racedaylasvegas.com for his Southern California analysis. We'll got about 20 minutes, give or take, to spend here a week removed from Art Sherman sending out his last starter. And just an amazing life in the game and a career that was quite successful before California Chrome ever came around. And whether you think about Siren Lore, who was my favorite horse of Art's before California Chrome came. But Art, what are the mornings like? You don't have to rush to the racetrack.
Well, it was funny. I'm up at, you know, I'm so used to getting up at 3:30 every morning. It's kind of a hard habit to break, but I got up. I got a new pup. I got a little French bulldog I got from my wife, and I took him out and played with him for a while, and now I'm going back to the track. I've got a bunch of tack. Both my boys are coming, one from Northern California and one from Lexington, and I've got some saddles and different equipment and California Chrome blankets that I need to give to them. And it's been kind of really busy for me, actually. You know, I had a great send-off here at Los Alamitos and had a nice party. And it's been great, you know. And I'm looking forward to both my kids being with us for the holidays. And then I'm moving to San Diego. I got a home down there, but I'm closing up the one I've got here in Cypress, California.
So it's been
kind of a busy time for me.
I can imagine, and the air will come out of the balloon slowly, and you can start to relax. You know, Jay Privman talked about the conversations he had with you to, you know, kind of wrap up things, and you've got some travel plans, right?
Me and my wife were going to do a few things. You know, we met so many nice people throughout the country when we had Chrome, and Chrome's previous owners invited me. I'm going to Ruidoso for a week when the All-American gets ready to run, and there's other different places I haven't been. I'm going to go to Yellowstone National Park, which I haven't been, and a few other little spots, you know, and throughout the country. So me and my wife, you know, while we're still in pretty good shape to be able to travel, I want to be able to do that.
Well, that's key. I mean, and the fact is that I don't think anybody believes that you've hit 8-0, and that seems that seems amazing, because you got so much energy and you're in such great shape.
Yeah, I'll be 85 February.
Unbelievable.
So the time has flew by. I look back and I think, wow, this year just flew by for me. You know, I think when you get older, it does go faster.
Yeah.
It seems like it does anyhow.
We'll talk about Chrome on the back half, because one of the things that was amazing to me, when he came along, you and I had a number of conversations. Siren Lore was absolutely a favorite of mine, but then came Hamish High and Ultra Blend. I mean, you'd had tons of success, and then comes a horse that just, I mean, you couldn't have imagined, I wouldn't think, no matter how many good horses came your way, that a horse like that would show up in the barn in your 70s.
Well, it was just, it's hard to believe, too. I look back and I look at all the videos and YouTubes, and that's what I did this morning. I had 200 cards I went through, and I can't believe all the fans that California Chrome had. You know, they're all a bunch of well-wishers, and even from Japan, they told me, you know, when you're coming out to see California Chrome, we'd love to have you, you know. And the Arrow Stud, that's where he's standing now. He looks really good. They send me pictures all the time. So I told Faye, I said, well, it's a bad time to travel now, but maybe next year it'll be a little easier to get around. You know, I sure love to go. I've never been to Japan, so I think I would enjoy it.
Talk about your professional career, and you can include those, you know, the early days that people really enjoy documenting, and you know, the, of course, coming to, you know, coming back to the Derby with your own horse. I mean, just reflect a little bit, Art, on all the things that the game, you know, basically gave you as a horseman, as a rider, and then as a trainer.
Well, you know, it's you go to reflect on everything you've done. You know, I've got this lady's doing a book on me, and you know, a lot of times I forget a lot of stories. You know, and I, you know, there's so many things that happened in my life. You know, as being a rider for 23 years and meeting Vice President Nixon and when he was. And J. Edgar Hoover, people don't realize, you know, they were big horse fans, and I met them in Maryland, in Bowie, Maryland, when I was riding and won a stake, and they gave me the trophy, and, you know, you don't realize all the things that happened to you until you kind of sit down and say, wow, you know, you look at all the YouTubes and the pictures, and then you reminisce, you know, and I've been very lucky, you know, to have the career I had, you know, and there's a lot of good horsemen out there that never had the luck that I've had getting decent horses, and I'm just so thankful for it. You know, it's been godsend for me and my family. You know, it's kind of helped Stephen up in Northern California. He's got 40 head of horses now, and Alan's getting started in Kentucky. He has 3 or 4 over there, and I'm just hoping that they had the success and you know, the feeling of going with me and being with their dad, you know, as years go by. It's been very rewarding to have your sons follow in your footsteps, more or less, you know what I mean? And it's very heartwarming.
When you think about your training and your approach, whose influence and you know, whose teaching, I won't say did you rely on, but you know, talk a little bit about I'm sure some names that have been lost to history, Art. I mean, let's be honest.
That's true. Nobody would know their names now.
That's all right. That's okay.
They've already passed away. You know, as you get my age, you know, that's all your friends aren't around anymore, you know, so but a lot of good people, you know, Rex Ellsworth, who taught me how to ride, Mish Tenney, and went through breeding season at, you know, when you get a green kid at 16 years old and you teach him, and I know it takes a lot of time and effort and you make a lot of mistakes, but if you have the fortitude to go through all that and learn from the basics, you know, I think that's missing a lot in this game. You know, people kind of just come to the racetrack and want to be jockeys, and I think they should spend a year or two at the ranch and learn just from the bottom up what it really a horse is about, you know, watch them foal and go through breeding season, you know. It's a really history lesson to be involved in that end of it too, you know.
Besides swaps and Chrome, it mentioned some of the other horses, either that you rode in the afternoons or other horses that, you know, that you think about that you know, that stay with you, that and they don't even have to be big stars.
I thought the toughest horse I ever rode was a horse called Arc Cerrone. I went to Santa Catalina on him, and Frank Childs, I remember, was training him, and I had his owner. I was in the grandstand. You know, it was a tough era then. You had Art Carolyn, this one and that one, riding Hardtack and the Valenzuelans. You know, it was a tough Colony, you know, Don Pierce, and a lot of good writers. And I was there in the grandstand, and he says, I want you to go down to Frank Childs, and I want you to ride that horse for me. He says, Artak rode him the other day and had to ease him. He says he was too tough for him. The horse really lugged it bad, you know. And I says, well, I was a hungry rider in them days, you know what I mean? Getting to ride maybe 3 or 4 a week, you know, and then galloping horses for different people and working them. So I rode that horse. I'll never forget it. It was in the Santa Catalina. And, Harmatz rode the other part of the entry, and he told me, going in, he said, Art, he says, usually we'll split if one of us wins. He says, but your horse really, I don't think, belongs in the race, he said to me, you know. And they just put him in because the owner wanted to. And, of course, the outcome was the horse I got through on everybody in the whole race to win the race. And, it was a real boost for my morale and for my business after that, too. So you just never know in this game when things are going to happen to you. That are, you know, you're available and you're got eager to do things. Life changes you, you know, and it's been that way for me most of my life. You know, I had a lot of nice, my first stakes winner was Amanda's Affair. I always loved her. She came from 9 miles out of it and closed. And there was a lot of good. Lickitill Hill was one of my all-time.
Lickitill Hill.
He was one of the toughest horses. I win the Sacramento Handicap on him 2 years in a row, and he had 4-bar shoes on him. And people don't really know that quarter cracks. And you never, if they have 1-bar shoe on, that's enough. But to have them on all 4 feet, you know, it was one of them rarities. But he had so much heart and want to beat you, you know. He was one of my all-time favorites. And he made $1 million, that horse. I bought him in Kentucky for $30,000 for Bill Zellerbach, who was one of my all-time great owners and that passed away a few years back. And I just look back at a lot of different horses that I've trained and and rode, you know. And I really enjoyed most of the training end of it more than the riding. Riding was tough, you know. I got broke my ankle in 3 places and broke my nose, and it, you know, I have a lot of different injuries that I've had throughout my career, you know, which every jockey does, you know. If you ride long enough, you're gonna get hurt, you know, can't help it. But being a trainer is like being a doctor on call, you know. It kind of quiet now. My last horse left a couple of days ago. We turned him out. I got 2 California grown babies I'm going to send up to my son. They look nice. You know, I go out to the ranch and see them. And I'm going to do a little bloodstock work. I'm going to form a little stable. And I like doing that. I like picking out horses and sales and at my own time. And it's going to be nice for me and my wife just to travel around and not have, you know, the duty of worrying about your horses 24 hours a day, you know.
Exactly.
So I'm looking forward to my second career, I call it, you know, so.
Or third, or the third career
third
even.
Career. No, you're right, it's the third career, you know.
I'm anxious to
get started, and I'm going to relax, though, for a little while first and get my bearings back and see if I can sleep in a little later than 3:30 in the morning. You know?
Exactly.
I did it today a little bit. You know, it's kind of cold here in California right now. So sleeping in didn't bother me a little bit, you know.
No.
Have my coffee, sit back, me and my wife have toast. You know, it's a different lifestyle for me completely now. You know?
Well, a couple of horses I want to bring up and let you also, you know, thank and acknowledge some of the people that you had clients for years and years, including Mr. Aiken. And I think about Hamish High, who, when he won that Hollywood Derby, I remember having a really fun conversation.
Oh, Hamish High was, you know, I named it after my sister's husband, his name was Hyman, you know. Hamish is a Jewish word for a good person.
Yep.
And, you know, it meant a lot to me to see that horse win the Hollywood Derby. And, of course, Garrett Gomez rode it for me, was a great rider. And I felt awful bad the way he had to end his career, you know. With so much talent, I feel bad, you know, thinking about all the good times we had with different riders and that aren't around anymore either, you know. So I, but Hamish Holly, you're right. He was a cool horse, you know. I just, and then I won with his offspring, you know. I had a filly up there. I sent her to my son called Gregorio. I won a couple of races with her. And that's the last of the Hamish Highs. I don't see too many of them around. You know, I gave them to George Krikorian, and he's standing in Kentucky. He breeds one or two horses to him, and maybe I'll get to see him. I talked to George the other day, and he says, oh, come out to the farm when you get back to Kentucky, and we'll go around and I'll show you all the babies I've got. So I'm looking forward to doing that. You know, maybe I could get to see Hamish High again and say hello, you know.
Well, you know, there's another grade one winner of yours that people, and I had forgotten this one, Art, when I looked the other day. I had forgotten that you upset the Citation, Langfield's win.
Oh, yeah. Langfield was another cool horse that we wind up claiming, and what a nice horse he was. He's a big old gray, and he was just a handful of training. He was a big, strong horse, but a pleasure to be around. You know, he had a good demeanor, and just one of them kind of horses that tried for you every time. You know, you get them kind, you know, that just all of a sudden stand out in your mind. And it was a great experience being a being Art Sherman around the country at that time, you know. It's, you know, really, when you go back to thinking about it and just saying, hey, how lucky can a guy get, you know, doing something he loves and having his sons involved and helping him, you know. It's, I look back now and I think, wow, I've been very lucky.
Well, you also, you know, you rubbed elbows with some of the biggest names in the game's history and some of the places, I mean, frankly, that are gone now when you think about Bay Meadows and Tanforan and, you know, I'm sure there's other places that, you know, have been paved over, you know, years ago.
One of my all-time favorites. Yeah, I lived in San Mateo for a lot of years, 25 years.
And, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy that it's gone.
Yeah, it is. It's that was one of my favorite old tracks to be around. You know, it was run so nice. I used to know all the owners of the track and trained for some of the owners. You know, and it's been, you know, as life goes on, you see a lot of changes. A lot of tracks closed that I used to go to, and you always wonder. I says, you know, my era's all gone now. You know, the game has changed so much for me personally. You know what I mean? It's, and you hear all this controversy about different things.
Sure.
I'm just glad that I'm ending my career at this time of my life. You know, I think I saw the best of the old timers and what it used to be, 60,000 people at the races. And, you know, that era is all gone, you know, so it's probably a good thing that Art Sherman is kind of going on to, you know, doing the different things, only because I've lost a lot of friends and I've got a lot of new friends, you know, but I just wish the game could be a little bit more kind of to for the horsemen, you know. I think they're going through a rough time right now.
Yeah. It's fair, fair to say. Art, the job you did with California Chrome to cap a 7-decade life in the game, it'll be held up for years to come. Everything you did, and $12 million in earnings, and just a spectacular end
third act, I guess, probably a good way to put it, to an incredible life in the game.
That's what they asked me in an interview the other day. I did the TVG, and I said, well, they had a nice, we did a nice segment there on TVG. It was about 45 minutes, and it'll be pretty cool, I think, And I've been doing a lot of radio shows. I just done, like, your show. I did one in Kentucky, and they brought on my two sons, and I didn't even know it when we were doing the show, and they'd come and said, hey, Dad, where we are, And they kind of got in and spoke about their dad, and they brought tears into my eyes,
Love it.
It's a way to end your career, and I have met so many nice people throughout the country, and Dr. Allred's always been great for me.
Sure.
Had a big party, and we had about 100 people up in the Vessels Club up there at Los Alamitos Racecourse, That was really super. I enjoyed that a lot.
Art, I can't wish you anything but the best, and hope to catch up with you over the winter somewhere, and from horse players and fans throughout the country, everywhere, that just adore you, and you gave everybody so much. You've given so much to the game. Thank you.
I appreciate it, and thank you.
Art Sherman, and the Sherman name will stay in the program as Shermie, his son, and Steve in Northern Cal, they'll go on. We're going to wrap up and send you out to the race day. You got the Turfway Pick 5 that Gus looked at. I'm going to get Aqueduct out to you in just a little bit. Thanks to Sean Clancy and Tom Law as well, Tony Black earlier, Rich Ang as well. Good luck today, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Weekend preview at the races here at SiriusXM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only 3 states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.